Our children are growing up before our very eyes. As they get bigger, so do the challenges they face. They're working out who they think they are, surrounded by opinions, friends, and so many screens. The world around them seems really loud. As those who love them, we can help them hear their loving Heavenly Father's voice as we share God's good story for growing up with them. Our brand new series of podcasts for parents and families are here to help. It's part of our Growing Up resources. There are 7 episodes just for parents as we hear from the experts, understand the issues, and remind our own hearts of the good story. And 6 kids episodes for the whole family to enjoy together, packed with fun facts, Bible truth, and great questions to get you talking. Together, let's start good conversations with our children about bodies, gender, and marriage. They're growing up, so come on, let's share God's good story. Don't miss an episode of this exciting series. Head to faithinkids.org for all the details about growing up.
Hello, I'm Ed. This is the Faith in Parents podcast, and this is my friend.
Hello. I thought you were going to say my name for a second there. I'm James Carey. Hello.
You know when you say, Jam, can you introduce yourself?
Yeah.
Do you ever do that? It's very annoying.
Well, sometimes you have people, in fact, you do it a little bit on the interview where you tell someone what their job is, and then they kind of have to sit there and sort of go, yes, that's correct, or resist correcting you because the job title's not technically right or whatever it is.
Sorry about that.
No, it's yes. Fine.
Well, it's lovely to have you here.
But we have a lovely interview coming up shortly.
I've interviewed Graham Daniels, yeah. Who is the... we'll talk about him a bit later. Yeah. He's called Dano. He's yeah. Welsh. If you've ever met him, you'll remember him instantly.
But he's a Christians and sport guy, and he so is. We're thinking... In a bit more detail about kids who are really into sport, if you are the parent of sporty kids. But I was also thinking that actually a lot of this really applies to if you have kids who are really into music or acting or drama or just something that takes up an awful lot of time and starts to require attendance on Sunday mornings instead of church. I think
and,
that's the big one.
Starts to shape your heart.
Yeah.
Starts to become the priority of your heart and the thing that changes how you feel.
Yeah. So the focus is on the sporty kids, but something for everyone here. A few tears, a bit of laughter, as they say in Four Weddings and a Funeral.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we've had some nice emails.
Oh, we really have.
People have emailed us at podcast@faithinkids.org.
Very lovely. Yeah. It's I think it probably comes from being a Christian podcast. I'm guessing if you have a podcast based on heavy death metal,
yeah.
death heavy metal,
yeah.
you get less lovely emails from people saying you're just doing a really good job.
They're probably
thank
lambs,
you.
Really, aren't they? They're probably lovely.
Maybe they are. We've had this lovely email and it says, as a family, we're loving the podcasts. The one for parents is so encouraging and helpfully challenging. Having the kids podcast to fall back on really helped me to give family Bible times another go. Because if all else fails, we just listen to the podcasts.
Yeah.
That is what we're here for.
Yeah. I mean, we're very realistic about what the podcast is for, what Faith in Kids is for as a podcast.
Yes.
It's an encourager. It's not a replacement for a Bible time, but it'll do for some days.
And we're also trying to say there isn't a world out there of parents who are absolutely smashing it and feel totally confident and they're absolutely delighted with the way their Christian walk with the Lord is going for them and their kids.
And if they are, you want to be slightly worried about them and you should be praying for them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So people talk to me most
yeah.
about the recording we did of 3 preschoolers.
Okay, and why? What appealed to them about that?
I'm absolutely certain it's the one more than any other, which is absolute bedlam, and you can hear the fear in my voice.
Okay.
And I think people think, that's what we're used to.
Yeah,
that's my home.
Is. Yeah, yeah.
So it could be arguably that one, we finally did what we thought we were going to set out to do, which yeah. is normal, everyday podcasts. And it's the preschoolers who are the only ones who go, we're not going to be nice to you, Ed, just because we know you.
Yeah.
We're going to make this really difficult.
Yeah. Job done.
Absolutely.
Well, so there will hopefully be people up and down the land who are using The Wonder of Easter because you've sold quite a few copies of the book.
It's been amazing. We're on our second print run.
Which is apparently good.
Apparently it is. Yeah. I have to say, I did go to a conference to talk about preschoolers.
Yeah.
And I said, please make sure you stock the book. I arrived, on the time I arrived, I said, we've sold out the book completely. And I thought, that's incredible.
Right.
Small pause, we sold all 8 copies.
Okay.
And I did think, oh, right, okay, so it's not that exciting.
Okay, right.
And fair I tried enough. To...
But that's good that. To shift, because I think in my church, I mentioned the book at the front of church and the podcast, and I think we'd ordered in a bunch of copies, and I think we did sell them all on a Sunday. But you've got to be aware that, you know, there are 10 families in our church who would, you know, probably buy it, and they pretty much all bought it. So you just think, well, you can't say fairer than that, really.
It really has been very encouraging. The thrill for me is when you hear of a family who say, this has made it better, this yeah. is we are able to open the Bible with our kids, yeah. this book has helped us to make a start, yeah. that is all we had hoped.
Yeah.
And if some of them sell, and if some people are encouraged by it, we're over the moon. It's yeah. gone really well.
Well, those are the metrics that you can be excited about, because I like you. You know, it's like when a publisher says we've gone through our first print run, he's like, is that good? Because I had one of those. I wrote a book called The Sacred Art of Joking, and my publisher said, oh, we've sold the first print run. I was just literally like, I have no idea. Is your first print run 80? In which case, that's not good. How many do you print?
Is that just my own mum?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, is that just the ones that I bought? But anyway, so for the people now up and down the land who are hopefully getting stuck in, it's day, when they're listening to this.
I think we're up to day 3 as we record this.
As we record it, but it may be day 7, 9, 15, 26.
It might well be.
It may be that people have already missed 3
yes.
or whatever.
And who cares?
Okay, so here's the, let's have a bit of encouragement. Let's have a bit of a pep talk to keep going.
Okay, the first thing to say is we've written them with 5 Family Bible times a week, with the idea you get to take 2 off somewhere. I think it is an extraordinary family that does 5 a week. Mm-hmm. I think the norm is 2 or 3.
Yeah.
If you're doing 1, well done.
Yeah. So if you weren't doing any and you're now doing 1, brilliant.
Absolutely.
If you used to do, yeah. if you can manage 1 and you think you can manage 2, you've doubled. You're 100%.
And there is absolutely nothing sad about discovering what happened on the cross on your summer holiday in August.
Yeah. So yeah, you're not going to feel like you missed out.
You're not. I think if you get to Advent, it becomes more awkward.
Okay.
But you have got months.
You've got something lined up for Advent anyway.
We hope to.
Hopefully.
Keep going. Don't be in a rush. If you want to miss some out, you can. If you just want to take your time, brilliant.
Yeah.
And if these podcasts can help a bit, even all the better.
Yeah. And actually, it may be that you're missing a few. Make a note of the ones that you missed and do them next Easter.
Great.
Next Lent.
The joy of children is they forget everything after about 3 months.
Yeah. And let's pretend that adults aren't exactly the same.
That's exactly right.
You know, whenever you're listening to this at any time of the week, can you really remember what Sunday sermon was about? Mm. I mean, could you really remember?
But then can you remember what you had for lunch yesterday?
Good question.
Both of them were absolutely essential for you staying alive. Okay. And that's enough.
Weirdly, I can remember I didn't actually have lunch yesterday. Anyway, we are going to think about sporty kids, but kind of busy kids in particular. But you had a chat with someone at Christians in Sport.
He was called the Reverend Graham Daniels.
And he's quite a character, isn't he?
Oh, he's just absolutely brilliant. Everyone calls him Dano. He has 3 jobs.
Right.
He works for a church in Cambridge, a great church, called, in fact, St. Andrew the Great. They so know they're great, they've put it in their name.
Okay, I think it may pertain to St. Andrew himself or something, or there may have been 2 St. Andrew's churches and this one was the bigger one. I don't know.
Be like that.
Yeah.
He is also the sporting director of Cambridge United. It's an unpaid role. He used to be a professional footballer who played for Cambridge United. The league is in front of me. They're currently 19th. They are 9 points above the drop zone.
Mm.
I can't really tell you what Danny thinks about that. But the fact that there is some blue water between them and the bottom, I'm sure gives him some joy.
Yeah.
And sorry, the third role, which is most significant for this conversation, is he is the director of Christians in Sport. And he actually is going to tell us what that involves. But it just means he, if you like, is managing to hold together with his 3 roles, a passion for sport, professional sport, an even bigger passion for Jesus Christ, and he is happiest when he's taking the 2 together and working out what that interface should look like.
So let's have a listen.
Dano, thank you for talking. Dano, you are the director of sport. Sorry, the director of Christians in Sport, and you are also the director of football for Cambridge United.
Yeah.
Could you just tell us, first of all, what is it that Christians in Sport is trying to do?
Christians in Sport wants to reach the whole world of sport for Christ. So just to pin that down, we focus particularly on two, if you like, of the four aspects of sport. There's the elite sport. Yeah. So for children these days,
yeah,
I can unpack this in a moment, but for children these days, children are headhunted at 6 and 7. And pretty much all sports have a pathway.
Yes.
Of tuition of children at elite level right through to 18.
Okay.
So compared to 10 years ago, thousands of children are in these pathways now, which means every weekend,
yeah,
half term and so, yeah, on. So there's the elite side of sport. Then secondly, and we focus on both, is the competitive side. So it's a child or an adult who may not be in a competitive pathway,
yeah,
of a governing body, hockey, tennis, cricket, but they play for a club,
yeah,
every week.
Okay.
They train once.
Okay.
And their lives kind of revolve emotionally around sport a little bit.
Okay.
More briefly, there's another two aspects. There's supporters.
Yeah.
At one end, if you like.
Yeah.
And then there's recreational sport, where many of us who are adults who played, say, university.
Yeah.
For example, don't play anymore because, okay, life's too full.
Yeah.
We love people doing that, but it's not where we target our time
it.
And money.
I get it. So can you first of all just say, what is it as a Christian that makes you certain sport is a good place for Christians to be?
Yeah.
Or, sorry, not what makes you certain, but
yeah,
how have you found it is good?
It's a good question. And I had to address it when I was converted, actually. I was a 21-year-old. I'd been to uni, but played football for Cardiff whilst there. Moved to Cambridge to live, to play football. Got converted to Christ. I went to a fantastic church, a Brethren church in Cambridge. I was a boy at school doing his PhD who took me to church with him. I met him in the street. So I went to church. And I read the Bible every Wednesday on my day off with an Old Testament scholar called Professor Robert Gordon, who was at the church as an elder. And he actually helped me navigate the creation narrative.
Yeah.
If you like, and the Bible overview.
Yes.
He helped me to see that my sport, my hand-eye coordination, my foot-eye coordination, was in the body that God had given me.
Mm.
I live in a culture where, for all of history in different ways, you've jumped, run, kicked, moved,
yeah,
played.
Yeah.
But this was the crucial thing I got in those early days. Sport is deeply flawed because human beings are flawed, but yeah, then so is the arts. So are the arts.
Okay.
So is music.
Yes.
If you actually withdrew from everything which was deeply flawed, actually you have to stay at home all the time. And in fact, you'd have to stop seeing yourself.
Yeah.
So actually what I've gained from this, and what I really feel quite strongly about,
yeah,
is that for a young person who is wired in this way and can play,
yeah,
in a culture where the sport that they play is a big part of society,
yeah,
we actually have to understand that the discipleship process for them, their idolatries, their vanities,
yeah,
their agony at losing,
yeah,
the supporter doesn't get that.
Yeah.
But the child is in pain. It's a grief,
yeah,
when they underperform because they idolise sport.
Yes.
Now, discipleship has to be worked out in there,
okay,
right through the sports system.
Okay.
Yeah, I have no problems with... I can unashamedly say I'm 56 years of age.
Yeah.
As a director of football of a professional football club, when my team loses, I know people will be annoyed at this. I've had it enough times. There's a grief.
Yeah.
Because I worship myself.
Yeah.
And I am proud of myself when my team, that is my team,
yeah,
wins. Because,
okay,
I am significant then. And,
okay,
it's tragic. And my discipleship is in realizing that is not true.
Okay.
But it doesn't go away. The battle,
okay,
on.
Okay. So if parents listening have a child who is involved in sport, perhaps in the way you have just been talking about,
mm,
and that, and there is some level of gifting and there is some, mm, element of ability,
mm,
what would be some of the ways a parent could help them navigate or encourage? What would be, you know, the two or three or four flags in the sand that they might just want to be thinking, let's help my child to work through those.
Yes. Flags in the sand. Flag number one, realise that if the child is gifted in such a way that socially they're given status for their sport, school, town, county, that will impinge on their identity and they will find their value in that as sinners.
Yeah.
Acknowledge it. Number two, watch yourself closely, mum and dad, because it's so easy if you're a sporty parent to live your life vicariously through that child. You don't know it. It sounds a little bit facetious as I say it. You don't know it, but you're doing it.
I actually find even a ridiculous thing, like my son is only eight. I was never good at cricket. I already find myself wanting him to be better than me in some way to fix my mistakes.
Yeah. And it is exactly what happens because take a child, let me abstract one from you now.
Yeah.
So they get to 11 or 12 or 13. They're in the county side or they're in the east south of England or the northeast of England side.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah,
it's one's child who's got respect in the community. And before you know it, a mum or dad are really anxious for their child's success. Can they get through the next trial?
Yeah.
And of course, now your love for your child is conditional.
Yeah.
We'd hate to say that. We'd all hate it.
Okay.
But it's conditional. Now, it could be their looks or their brains. Or,
yeah.
But in sport,
yes,
it happens.
Thank you.
So number two is watch it, mum and dad. Watch it. And number three, therefore, almost by definition, start thinking about how discipling that little human being must take account of the idolatry that's already embedded in them,
yeah,
in their sport, and start building their lives around discipling them through that means of what it is to serve God in their whole life, but it'll be felt most keenly in their sport, probably.
And that presumably is similar to how a parent might disciple any child, which is, are they looking out for the needs of the other? So rather than treading on their teammates for their own success, are they looking out for their needs? Are they maybe trying to talk about Christ in a way that at their age they feel able to?
Yes. It exactly the same as any other place where the little human being finds their value in society and their worth.
Okay.
Because if you're valuable and worthy because of something you can do, that's what you start to idolise.
Yes.
And it's in there.
Yeah.
Precisely. So saying to a young child, I can take a slightly older child, a teenager, at a tournament I went to not so long ago. They blew it in the sprints. They were sprinting.
Yeah.
Blew it. Should have done that, made the time easy.
Yeah.
Really blew it. Next day was the relay, and there were six for the relay. Only four could run. They knew they wouldn't be picked for the relay. It was an older team.
Yeah.
They wouldn't be picked for the relay.
Yeah.
Because they knew their time wasn't good enough, and four others would be in the relay, but they had to go train in the morning after blowing it. So you'd say to that person, who's a Christian, professing Christian,
yeah,
what are you going to do tonight? Pout. I'm going to pout. I'm staying on my own. You're going to go to, what about in the morning? I'll go along, that won't be picked. So I'll just go along and go through it, but I won't be picked. There's no point. As a professing boy, so I say, I've got a thought. What if you asked Jesus that you could go tomorrow? Give it your best. And really, with all your heart, ask the Holy Spirit to give you the power to say to your teammates, hope it goes really well. He said, but they'll know that really I want to run. I said, I know. So if you hold your hand out and shake their hand and say, it hurts me that I'm not running, but I want you to run really well. Anything like that. What do you think they'll make if you're there? God, they think I'm different class. That's what the thought, isn't it? Do you think you feel better if you do that?
Mm.
Or if you pout and disappear?
Yeah.
So I'm afterwards. I said, how'd it go? He said, I did it. So what was it like? He said, it was ridiculous. He said, it was a mixture of... amazing that I felt Jesus was in it and I was looking for the other.
Yeah.
And agony because I wanted somebody to pull a hamstring in the training.
Yeah.
But he said, you're right, they knew it. They knew it hurt me so much and yet I wanted to do it.
Yeah.
And I feel good. So there's something about
the
working out the cause of the other with the power of Christ when you most want to serve yourself.
Thanks, Dano. And that, and as a parent, you know, the huge difficulty of being a parent is no one gives you the manual and you can't stick the USB in your ear to download what you need. So really, exactly as you've talked through that boy, you, as a parent, you're just keep listening, keep watching, keep your own heart close to Christ.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can't say here are the 10 things every parent needs to do.
No.
But the Spirit has worked through you, so you've got that sort of experience of what it means.
Yeah, I think you're exactly, Ed. And I think you, the two parts to it, aren't there? Because they're the two, seems to me, axiomatic parts of the Christian life. Number one, Christ offers a love that if I turn to him, the moment I turn to Christ, that unconditional love bought at Calvary never disappears. Mm. He's paid the price.
Yeah.
He's my leader, he's my friend, he's my carer. So I'll often say to parents, you know, you've got to teach your child the Lord Jesus is like the coach on the track with his stopwatch, watching your laps. Athletes will get this bit of it. You know, runners.
Yes.
He's not there with his watch going, you see the face of the coach, not quite good enough. Let's do a bit better than that. Ooh, nice. That's an image that we'll carry of Jesus when we're sporty kids. He's there testing me. If I lose, I've done something wrong. It's sin. It's what sin does. Somehow you've got to find a way of saying to a child, no. The Lord Jesus is on the lap with you. He's inside you on the lap. He's not watching on to give you a stick or to give you a tick. He's there saying, I'm with you in this. I'm for you. Now, I want you to have your eyes on other people because I love you, whether you're first or last. I think the parent's got to keep saying to a child, the Lord Jesus loves you, whether you're captain of England rugby or dropped from the under-11s. He loves you. That's what Calvary proves.
And even his love doesn't change.
It never changes.
The love would stay the same if they never stepped onto the pitch again.
99%, if not all of it, is about that. And the working out of new life in Christ as somebody who walks with him by his Spirit is about the other.
Okay.
How can I serve the other from the security of certainty? Now, the opportunities for discipleship in sport now are massive. People are in agony when they're dropped, but you're the one who goes to visit them.
Yeah.
You're the one who picks up the phone to the one who's been shipped out and isn't being picked in the under-15s anymore.
Yeah.
Your opportunities for good are so huge.
Yeah.
Because the pain is so deep.
Yeah. And it is worth every parent having some insight into that. Because maybe many churches have a sporty kid, a sporty family.
They'll all have one.
So as a parent who isn't from a sporty family, it is helpful to try and empathise with, in a way probably they can't relate to, this family's hurting.
Yes. Somehow, the great thing about the body of Christ, isn't it? The local manifestation of the body of Christ is the mixture of all sorts in the church.
Yeah.
And it'd be very unlikely. I would imagine in most churches where there's a good number of children coming, there will be an adult who thinks like a competitive sportswoman or sportsman.
Yes.
Has done it in their lives.
Yes.
And can therefore reinforce for you, the non-sporty parent, the gospel of grace and the outworking of the Christian life as a disciple in the community of other sports people.
Yeah. Last question on this, Dano. I think the question I most often get asked about sport is how do we help those families when sport is pulling them away from church?
Yeah.
And in some ways, actually, As an adult, I was talking to another adult whose sport was taking him away. I'd be pretty clear. Yeah. In fact, I've had that conversation with a guy. He was a very good athlete.
Yeah.
And I knew how to be talking to him.
Yes.
And he could still be an athlete.
Yeah.
I think when we're talking to another parent about a child.
Yes.
I think it's a harder conversation.
Much harder, yeah. Yes, because a grown adult, you can just take on the issue and discuss.
Yeah.
Strong. I think, as you can imagine, Ed, I've had this more times than I care to wrestle with. and it, really, in the end, as a parent myself and a grandparent, and as, in a parachurch work, I unashamedly want to say, in the end, the parent's a parent, no advisor, nobody outside, and the local church is the local church. So it's at your peril that somebody two steps removed from that starts giving advice at a distance on this issue. However, at the same time, you can't bottle it because we work with hundreds of young people who are very elite levels of 9, 10, 12-year-olds. And they're away all the time.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want to prolong this, and I'll get to the point after this prelude, but one of the things we've seen is that marriages actually get into trouble. And this is documented.
Yes.
When you've got top-level sporty kids.
Okay.
Because mum and dad don't have time together. You're rushing back from work. One of you's got to get them 40 miles away to trampolining in a city miles away.
Yeah.
You're crossing over all the time. The weekends disappear. Other siblings suffer. So there's almost a foundational question here about sport itself and the organisation of it in the current age. That's a systemic question, which no parent can deal with, but it's there.
But it's helpful for a parent to hear that.
Yeah.
Because clearly forewarned is forearmed.
Oh, I wouldn't be putting... I know so many ex-professional footballers who do not put their children in the performance pathway system of clubs.
Okay.
And say they'll wait till they're 14.
Okay.
If they're good enough, somebody will want them at 14. I'm not spending days and days in every month running my kids all over the country to the detriment of their siblings.
Thanks.
When the odds are they won't make it.
Okay.
That's systemic. That's a systemic issue. Let me try and deal with it head on. I think the most important thing a child can have is growing up in the local body of believers of all ages and stages. And whichever way we find around that, if your child's in a serious sports context, the best option you've got, the very, very best option is the 4 o'clock service or equivalent.
Yes.
Not Sunday mornings, the prime time
yes.
for pretty much all sports now. Not even Saturday, Sunday morning.
Yeah.
If at all possible, if you're in this setup and you've got... the best bet is a 4 o'clock service. If there's a choice to be made, the best bet is the 4 o'clock service.
Yeah.
You press me now. I don't want to just keep talking because you should push on this.
I was in a church who had a 4 o'clock service.
Yeah.
I've also been in a church where I've seen children taken out halfway through the service to take them to their county level sport.
Yeah.
I would say the only thing I've seen is when this church still has a 4 o'clock. I normally tell people I couldn't name a family at that church who were there. Maybe one who was there because of sport.
Right.
So I don't know if this is true, but perhaps it's true that those families who put sport before Christ, even if you gave them an alternative.
Right. Good.
May not pick it. But those who do have a passion for Christ,
yes,
they do come to you and say, how are we going to make this work, Ed?
Yeah.
What are our options?
That is the best. Ed, you've answered my question, your question to me better than I've ever answered it.
Okay.
No, you've unearthed something
that
resonated immediately.
Okay.
I reckon that's almost spot on. The parent who, for whatever reason, wants to live vicariously through their child's success in particular.
Yes.
Or really is looking for an excuse not to be committed to the local body of believers.
Yes.
Will find a way of doing just that.
Yeah.
The mum and dad who say being a follower of Jesus is singularly the most important thing that can happen in my child's life because it is in mine.
Yeah.
I will find a way to get Christian community in my family's life.
Yeah.
I think it's probably the foundational question as opposed to the infrastructure.
And then there's the church body version of that, which is if we love this family, we will think really creatively about how we can draw them in and we won't just rebuke them, look them in the eye and say, you're making big mistakes. We'll try to work with them knowing that they are forgiven sinners like we are. And whether it's a mistake or not, we'll try and love them.
Both. I'll use this beyond our podcast because you've just given it to me. I'll speak to a number of parents on this, and you've just paired up the sides. I'm used to churches.
Yeah.
I'm afraid that's how it is.
Yeah.
I'm used to churches that are the way you just talked.
Yeah.
I.e., we really care, and we're not going to say, "Well, tough luck. We do Sunday morning. That's the end of it."
Yeah.
Well, hey, if that's your attitude, crack on. Most people I know aren't like that.
Yeah.
They really want to.
Yeah.
They know the world has changed. They know Sundays have changed. They're not Sabbatarian.
Yeah.
If they were Sabbatarian, they wouldn't budge.
Yeah.
And some people have that on conviction, right?
Yes.
Most people I know aren't. And if they're not Sabbatarian...
So, and Sabbatarian, what we mean by that
sorry.
Is, on principle, they will not play sport or watch sport or maybe...
Fill a car with petrol, go to the shops.
Yes.
It is a holy day in its own right and not to be soiled in any other way. Some people hold that, and that's a conscious issue, conscience issue, and therefore you'd respect that.
Yeah.
When it's not a conscience issue, but a pragmatic issue, I tend to have spent my time with church who are saying we want the best possible entry point for people outside of church and to retain people as disciples in church.
Okay.
Without compromising the gathering of the body of believers of all ages and stages.
Okay.
We'll do what we can. So parents who want that for their kids and churches who want it tend to fix it.
Okay.
Seems to be my experience.
And just, I mean, some off the top of our head, flexible things you might do. You might want to really draw them into any midweek youth groups, kids clubs.
Massively.
You might be thinking, is there a way... I don't know, a small group might incorporate children.
Yeah.
So that 2, 3, 4 families get to read the Bible together once a week somewhere else.
Beautiful, yeah.
Or even, you know, I come from a church that tries to plant, and it might even be, is this the Lord inviting us to start a Sunday 4 o'clock service in the church hall, which is going to be lower key, less instruments, less music, less fandango, more informal, more running around, but it'll still be church.
Yeah. Well, all the things that I'd have expected from you. Yes. But at the same time, somewhere in that, you've painted a better picture than I have. And yet somewhere in our dialogue, it's almost the reverse in that I'm wanting to say, but.
Yes.
But. If you have to be binary, you've got to make a choice.
Yes.
The most important thing in a child's life is to see that Jesus is Lord. Not sport is God. And if you have to make a binary choice, Jesus is always Lord.
Thank you, Dano.
Well, that was great, Ed. And may I compliment you on the excellent audio quality of that interview.
And let me say, Jem, you're the only person who cares.
Okay. Well, people sort of tend to notice when it's not there. But anyway, thank you. I was really struck and encouraged actually just by something that you said about how much you worry about how good your son is at cricket. Because I have a child who also loves cricket. I really, really love cricket.
You do.
And so I kind of have to be very careful that I'm not trying to fulfill my desires for cricket through my daughter who is really into cricket. And so I keep trying to make it as easy as possible for her to not, do you want to do this next cricket thing? Please say no if you don't want to. Please don't do it because you want me to do it.
And so, is it, Jan, was it just me? But when Dano says one thing is that parents need to watch their own hearts.
Yeah.
I just thought, crumbs.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
Yeah.
And it's my thing and it's your thing. And it's
pretty much the first thing he said as well, which was you were not expecting.
I wasn't. No. I wasn't at all expecting it. And as soon as he says it, you think, absolutely. And imagine if your child was actually really very good at sport.
Yeah.
Imagine what that would feel like. But isn't it helpful that someone just calls it out at the very beginning and says, parents, just know the inevitable, what it will do to you. And he knows that because he is human and you are human.
And the effect it can also have on your family as well.
Yeah, that was a sad part, wasn't it?
Yeah.
To say marriages are affected when your child is very good at sport. You know, that sentence I've just said is almost incredible.
And there's a similar one with parents of children who became famous actors.
Okay.
As children as well.
Okay.
And where sort of money starts to change hands as well, and it starts to get really toxic and one is much pushier than the other, and it doesn't often end well in those stories. And so
and in Christ we it is not an inevitability that it goes wrong.
Exactly.
So the difference as the Christian speaks about this, we are saying we are in the local church with friends who love us, who know us well enough to see these changes slowly happening, who see what our diary is doing to us, and who can speak into it and ask us good questions. So we get to say, no, we know it's a problem, and we have We have put conversations in place. We are working this through. Or, no, thank you for loving us enough to talk to us about it.
Yeah. The other thing I liked about the interview, it felt very practical in terms of we really do set it up as an either-or in terms of you either do sport or you do church, and, oh, dear, it's, you know, you've chosen poorly and that's going to be the end of your faith. And actually, quite often, it isn't quite as adversarial as that. And actually, sometimes these things only happen for literally a season as well as metaphorically a season. And quite often there are other church services available that could be attended. And I think maybe there's a sense in which if we're clear about, if we say to a child who's very sporty and has a thing on Sunday to say, like, for this period of time, we'll be going to the evening service and it won't be as good for you, but that's a sacrifice you're making for your career, but we're still hearing teaching. And as long as you're sort of making clear to them that not going to church is not an option, but we will try and make it work, I think is, you know, it's something worth thinking about. And it is up to the parents, and it is within the context of the kids and the commitment and the sport and the level and all these kinds of things. It is very hard to say, no, it has to be this or it has to be that.
And I suspect parents who find themselves in this position where their child is pursuing something so passionately, it would be a great default setting for a parent to pick their best friend in church and just simply say, can I talk to you about how we're feeling and can I ask your advice on this?
Yeah.
Just a chance to acknowledge as a parent, you don't have to be bulletproof. You don't have to have it all worked out. You don't need a 5-year plan.
Yeah.
Even if your son's sports coach has a 5-year plan, you don't need to have one. And to allow people to walk with you and to acknowledge, if there were some surprises in what Dano said, which I imagine there were because he was so clear on it, then a great first stop would just be said, it would be great if we were regularly talking to someone about this, if only to say out loud some of these things.
Yeah. And I think the other thing is that accepting that sometimes, I think this is the case with regard to maybe performing arts and those sorts of things, is that, so I know someone where they had to go to play rehearsals on Sunday morning for something at their school. And they actually said, I'm not going to come to all of them because I go to church and that's when my youth group is, you know, and I don't want to miss it. And then they had the conversation with the school and the school said, oh, okay, well, can they come to the dress rehearsal on that Sunday? Yeah, yeah, of course they can do that one. But they sort of had the conversation. I think sometimes we don't want to have the conversation with either the school or the sports coach or whatever. We don't want to have the conversation with the youth leader or something because it's all we kind of keep thinking it's all or nothing, all or nothing. And it is very rarely the case that it's all or nothing, I suspect.
Yeah, and when we believe it's, for instance, got to be all sport, there is a degree to which I think we're saying we don't believe Jesus Christ is sovereign over sport.
Yeah.
We don't believe that if we give him a little more, he will honour that decision and he has a good plan for our family. So I can imagine that you say it is all sport and it might be no church for a season.
Yeah.
Because of that
or
fear.
not morning church.
Exactly.
And there's probably an evening church or there's a thing or
whereas
something.
Whereas if our starting point is Jesus Christ is Lord over every inch and minute of every member of my family's life, we do not need to fear and plan driven by that fear.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's it. So fear is a very poor motivator for discipleship and looking after kids. Cool.
We're so grateful to Dano.
Yeah.
We hope that maybe if you're listening to this, it might be. I hope that interview was soft enough, gentle enough that you could say to a friend who's in a sporty family, why don't you ever listen to that? I think it's helpful. It's not so pointed and sharp that they'll be thinking, oh, goodness, you think all of that about me.
Yeah. And I think that's a good thing. So we're going to hear from Dano again on another podcast because you spoke to him about another issue, which will be, I think, quite interesting about death and heaven and hell and those sorts of things. But as you said, it would be worth sharing that interview, this podcast, with someone who you think is thinking about this or might have to in the future.
One thing that comes up is that very few parents, I think I can say, have a solid grip on these sorts of priorities and the careful thinking through that Dano has done.
Yeah.
So most parents, if not all parents, would benefit from hearing his thoughts and just processing that a bit more with a good friend.
And I think just parenting in general. And so, therefore, all I'm saying is it might be worth sharing this podcast with other parents and saying, I found this useful, or I think these guys are insane. What do you think?
Yes.
And that would be a start of a conversation, because I think we have to do this on our own and figure it out.
Yeah.
And that just isn't the case, is it?
No. Jesus Christ has for almost all of us, not put us alone in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
He has given us a local church, and with one or two wise, godly friends who we can talk to about these things.
Great. Well, if we've sparked anything, then do please send us an email, podcast@faithinkids.org. Also, if you'd like to make a donation to Faith in Kids, that would be nice, wouldn't it?
It would. We can probably be blunt, as we've got to know you over 7 podcasts.
Yes, we're amongst friends now.
We are.
Yes.
And say...
we may speak freely.
We were given some generous donations to get us through our first 2 years of Faith in Kids. We're at 18 months. And we don't have a firm plan for where the funding will carry on after that 2 years. So if you like these podcasts, if you like Faith in Kids, do contact us, do consider giving.
Yeah,
we'd love to hear from you,
obviously. So look at the website, faithinkids.org, send us an email, and that would be great. Ed, thanks very much.
It's been an honour to be here in your kitchen, car,
bathroom.
Bathroom.
Ooh, too much.
Just don't go there.
Let's not go there. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.